على عباده الذين اصطفى. Major events and occurrences that will relate to our deen are generally covered by the hadith. Like the hadith says, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي قائمين على الحق. There'll be a group that will stand on the right, and nobody will be able, come what may, high waters or whatever, but there will be a group that will remain on the haqq. So from the time Rasulullah had predicted this, then to this day you'll find that there are groups and groups of people protecting and preserving the pristine purity of Islam. If there's any alterations, if there's any distortions, then they will come and correct it. You find several ulama doing the same, then the maktabs doing the same, trying to preserve the truth. Madaris are trying the same to preserve the truth. Now this is something exclusive with Islam. Because every other denomination, when it was distorted, people carried on. From one god, it went to three gods. And from three gods, it became the Son of God. And from the Son of God, it became God. And then everything works. Sab kuch chalta, everything works. So this is an exclusive favor of Allah Ta'ala to the Muslims, to Islam, that nobody will be able to distort it. Anytime any person tries and attempts, then there will be a correction. Some quarters will come and correct it. Then again you find the Quran Sharif speaking about the Roman Empire and its collapse. And then it's gaining victory again within a period of about 9 years. And exactly as the Quran Sharif has predicted, you find the whole empire collapsing and coming up again. So again, you find that when there is a major, major occurrence, the Quran Sharif or the Hadith will definitely speak about it to realign us and to bring us to the truth. Although people would like to make their own interpretations and own explanations, but then there'll be that group that will come up and throw it aside. All these are not keeping, not consistent to the original. When it's not consistent to the original, they will throw it out. Someone will talk about LG and try and squeeze it into Islam, and then there'll be those that will throw it out, that this doesn't belong to us. It's alien to us, so we will definitely reject it and throw it out. Similarly, this narrative of maintaining the truth is not something only with Islam, but the Anbiya of the past also, they had predicted the truth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their own scriptures. قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ مصدقا لما بين يدي من التوراة ومبشرا برسول يأتي من بعد اسمه أحمد. So Isa alayhi salam had predicted, three messages he had given. One is, I am sent as a Rasul to you, O Bani Israel. Inni قال عيسى بن مريم يا بني إسرائيل إني رسول الله إليكم ومصدقا لما بين يدي من التوراة. And I also confirmed the truth of the scripture that was revealed before me, that was the Torah. And the third, my third mission is also وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِي. And also I come to announce the coming of a Nabi that's going to come after me. And not just the prediction, but with the name, إِسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. the name and the prediction of a Nabi to come after me. So now, if we studied the Gospel, the Bible, what we call it nowadays, it went through serious changes, a lot of distortions, a lot of changes. But if you compare this to one of the old Gospels, the one that was printed in London in 1833, so it contains those same passages that Jesus predicted the coming of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he says in that passage that I have to leave now, and if I don't leave, then the Paracletus will not come. Now, Paracletus is a translation of Ahmad. Like Medina Munawara has got several names. One is Medina, one is Darul Hijra, one is Yathrib, right? So similarly, Rasulullah Paksam also has different names. You see it in the Masjid al-Nabawi, all the different names of Rasulullah Paksam. So one is Muhammad, one is Ahmad. So Jesus has already predicted, I also come and give you the news of a Nabi to come after me. His name will be Ismuhu Ahmad. His name will be Ahmad. So now, in the Gospel that was printed in 1833, it's got, I have to leave. And if I don't leave, then the Paracletus, that means Ahmad won't come. And again, in the Gospel that was printed 1829, right? Godfrey, he's the one that translated, did the work. So he says that it also contains the verse. It says that the leader of the universe is going to come to you, the leader. Now, this is exactly the description of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ana Sayyidu Wuldi Adam. I am the leader of all mankind. And Jesus says exactly the same thing, that the leader of the world is going to come. Right? And he's going to come and he's going to define all the areas, different areas, the areas of the wrong and of the right, define, make it clear. So there won't be anything that will be ambiguous. So for the righteous, they will receive the rewards, obviously. And because Rasulullah Wasallam's method, his approach, was comprehensive, was complete and perfect, so those that were guilty, they will be treated accordingly. So the righteous, they will get an applaud and recognition from Allah Ta'ala, obviously. But those that went off, then they will definitely be dealt with in this life and the next. All these descriptions, they are exactly the descriptions of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it is for the Ummati to understand the descriptions of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And what supports it, what strengthens it, that even the previous scriptures would contain the description of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One hadith says, which contains the description, even in the previous scriptures, that Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was da'im al-bishara, always had a smiling countenance. Just a smile. You're not going to lose anything, and all to gain, just to smile. You're getting a sawab of sadaqah, just to smile at the person. So we don't have to have a pulled up face. And now people have a way of giving their wives a cold treatment. So this thing doesn't work now. Especially in this age, this cold treatment, it doesn't work. To correct ourselves and our thinking. Because in many cases, or most cases, it has the adverse effect. It doesn't have a positive effect. The idea is to bring about a solution, not to show a point. Now, the mind drifts sometimes. I'll show the person the point. I'll show the wife a point. Or the friend says, I'll show my partner the point. But showing the point and having a cold attitude, it doesn't work in this day. So Rasulullah's method was final, complete, perfect, anything. Not better, not even equal. Then, Layyin al-Janib is a man easily approachable. No, you know, I'm in a certain class now. You have to make an appointment to see me, and I'm not such an easy available person. He was a person easy accessible, right? Easy accessible. Layyin al-Janib, soft in his ways, in his temperament, easy approachable, and a constant smile on the face, right? غَيْرَ مُشَاحٍ, he was never a miser, that لَوْلَا لَا التَّشَهُدِ لَكَانَ لَاؤُهُ نَعْم. You know, when we saying the tashahud, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, so we have to use the word لَا, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. But if it was not for this لَا, then the لَا would have been نَعْم, yes. So any person came for any type of assistance, any type of support, Rasulullah was giving it. Even at times, it was something that he needed desperately, and someone came for an assistance, or take it. As Aisha is the respected wife of Rasulullah, she's got just got a few things just for the iftar, nothing else. That's the household of Rasulullah, and she's got something just for the iftar, long day of Ramadan, or Nafil Roza, and just enough for the iftar, for herself and for Rasulullah. And just then, at around, just before the iftar, there's a beggar that comes up, and he asks for some assistance. So as Aisha instructs the servant, that gives this away to the beggar. So the beggar says, that's the only thing that we've got, give it away. Now that was the household of our Rasulullah. We speak about him so highly. But what was the description? What was the character? What was the way? So he will never turn a person down. Then further, the description, the explanation of his character, good character, right? Then further says that لَا يَجْزِي السَّيِّيَةَ بِالسَّيِّيَةَ. If someone harmed him, then Rasulullah will not retaliate. Give him one shot, I must give one shot. Use one word against me, I must give you one word. So لَا يَجْزِي السَّيِّيَةَ بِالسَّيِّيَةَ. So that was not his style. وَلَكِنْ يَعْفُ وَيَسْفُ. What was his style? Forgive and overlook. In fact, not only forgive and overlook, أَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَّى إِلَيْكَ. The one is rude towards you, aggressive, he's impolite. You'll be good towards him, you'll be polite towards him. You'll be kind towards the person that is impolite and aggressive. Now that's the Mubarak teaching of the leader of the world, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes we need to review ourselves. Are we on the same line, or we have moved away from his line? Again, the description, this last line, perhaps it may be some type of a guide for us for the Ramadan, right? تَرَكَ نَفْسَهُ عَلَىٰ ثَلَاثٍ. Rasulullah committed himself in three lines. In three respects he committed himself. From the beginning of his mission right till the end, to these three lines he had committed himself. One is تَرَكَ الْمِيرَىٰ. He never went into an argument, debate, fight, dispute. That was not the style. From the beginning, right till the end. And I tell my friends, by a dispute, an argument, a discussion, as good as it may seem like, you know, it may appease your mind, right? But did you see the other side? Do you see the negativity in it? Do you see the disaster in it? Now you enter into a dialogue, to an argument, whether on a group or in real life, right? But look at the effects of it. When there's a dispute, when there's a fight, there's an argument, right? For the moment it seems that, no, I had the last line. I showed him. I gave him a piece of my mind. But after that, will you enjoy the same level of concentration in your namaz? The namaz will be gone, right? Reading Quran Sharif, your mind is wondering, why did he tell me this and why did I have to tell him that much? You're making zikr, your zikr has also got affected. You're making dua, that's also affected. And now, when you get these Mubarak days coming in, I said, amen, I told him something more than what he deserved. Why did I have to do that and I have to go and ask him for a maaf? So all these things will play up just as the result of an argument. And this shows that Rasulullah was God sent. Because from the beginning he could make out, this is the disastrous effects, consequences of an argument, dispute, fighting, arguing. You could make it out. Now, we will have to go through the experience to understand this. But he was born like that. Never in an argument, never in a dispute, never in a fight, never in a quarrel, not at home and not out of the house. Not in the home and not out of the house. That's one thing that he kept himself. And this misuse of the tongue is so dangerous, right? That Allah Pak says, misuse and raising your voice where you're not supposed to be raising your voice. Your parents, elders, ulama, and of all greatest, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, لا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم. Raising your voice, you think you're doing something. أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. Surah Hujarat, Allah Pak says, that will cancel all your good deeds. Now you thought now you did something great, marvelous. But what it resulted in, all your deeds all cancelled. So was it worth the price? So that's one thing. So in this month, the guarding of the tongue. We don't want now to acquire something and fill it up in a holy pocket, pocket with holes. Yes, we must be holy, not the pockets. Pockets have it. So whatever you've acquired, then preserve it. Don't destroy it. Don't lose it. The second thing that that Rasulullah had kept himself committed to, one is tark al mira and tark al ikbar. He was never an arrogant person, never showing an attitude. No, I'll show him, I'll put him in his place, I'll fix him up, what he thinks of himself. Our ulama say, even if you are advising the person on deen, then too, you don't have the right to despise him. Then too, at that time, you can't say that I am better than him. Otherwise, if he is involved in wrong, then you're involved in pride and arrogance because you despise the person. So you still have to think low of yourself because you don't know where you stand. When you don't know where you stand, then how can you despise? So that was Rasulullah's life, tarkal ikbar, tarkal milal. The whole life, from the beginning till the end, never a proud person, never a person to show attitude, never a person to show arrogance, right? No. Not in his speech, not in his behavior, not in his character, not by body language, in no way. The third thing that Rasulullah had kept himself committed right till the end was tark ma la ya'ni, leaving out things that don't concern you, right? Now we get into the news, that information, this information, we know about the whole thing, the whole world, you know. But the only thing that we don't know is about ourselves. Have we introspected ourselves, the wrongs that we have got, the wrong things that we look and fantasize over, the wrong things that we speak about, the wrong things that we listen to, the ghibat we engage in passively or actively. Do you think about these things here? No, I'm right, this person, that person is wrong, America is wrong, and this person, but what about yourself? Did you introspect? And as you introspect, then you'll say, you'll come to the conclusion, jab dekha apne ghare ba mein, when I look into my collar, jahan mein koi bura na raha, there was no person as bad as myself. So that will then inspire you to make a lot of istighfar. You'll be sorry about the wrong, you'll be remorseful. And then the hadith says, what a compliment the hadith gives. Hadith says, Tuba liman kana fi sahifati istighfar kathira. The congratulations, compliments to that person, when he finds his books of deeds, there's a lot of istighfar in that. Allah Ta'ala accept our Ramadan, our Roza, our Tarawih, our Quran Sharif and Ibadat. And give us a tawfiq to leave out the areas that can cancel all our deeds.